Welcome to Steve Dale's Pet World.
Can we have a better bad idea than this?
This is the best bad idea we have, sir.
If you've got pets, he's got answers.
You are a sad, strange little man.
Steve can help. We're positive.
Oh, God, this thing is going downhill fast.
You've got America's pet expert here on Steve Dale's Pet World.
I think summer is coming. I'm not so sure about that. Dr. Donna Alexander, the first question I must ask you is our county veterinarian, not our meteorologist, but you're going to play one right now. Where is summer? What's going on?
Summer is coming. May 29th.
She says that's the official date, but I don't know if the temperature is going to reflect that. But here is what is happening around the Chicago area. And I believe much of the country, too, all the rain, that impacts the mosquitoes. It impacts when the ticks come out, even fleas. And the Centers for Disease Control said, I think it was last week, they said, oh, oops, turns out there's much more tick disease as well as mosquito-related illnesses flea-borne disease, true, that than we've ever admitted, ever known about. They didn't say admitted. That's my wording. But then that we've reported before. Well, that impacts people, but I think dogs are a sentinel for this stuff.
Absolutely. And because we had such a warm winter. Yes, we did have a warm winter that was filled with rain, occasional snow that melted so, and it absorbed into the soil. We are going to have a large population of mosquitoes, ticks, and fleas.
Now, I want to talk about each of those separately, and not as in much detail as we could. By the way, our phone number, 312-981-7200, and we'll end up talking about a low-cost vaccine, a clinic that you offer for rabies.
And that's what I was alluding to, that summer starts May 29th for us.
She says that with such a smile on her face, and she does, because you could live over there, in that part of America. You don't have the opportunity to have these low-cost vaccines, and you do in Cook County, and we'll tell you where you can get those and exactly how much they are, and we'll talk a bit about rabies as well. It's the law that you need that vaccine, by the way. Well, not you, your pet. But and we'll talk about why that's the case too. So my producer of the national radio that we do lives way out in the suburbs. But he was parked in a concrete parking lot for his kids' baseball games or something. He's got 28 kids. I don't know what he does. But he was playing baseball with half the team, which are his kids, and goes back to the car. And he finds a tick inside the locked car. Now, do ticks have keys to our car? That's okay. So that's one and a concrete parking lot. He wasn't in the. I mean, he was near the woods, you know, but he wasn't in the woods. And a tick is inside the car. He didn't even realize what it was at first. He took a picture of it and sent it to his veterinarian, who said, "Yeah, that's a tick." Another instance, downtown, right near where we are, just east of Michigan Avenue. I have a friend who lives in a high-rise, walking her dog. Her dog never goes anywhere, a little white, fluffy kind of dog, anywhere except around east of Michigan Avenue. The sidewalks, back and forth, up and down. A tick on that dog. Off Michigan Avenue. So tell me what's going on.
Well, the problem is that the tick might have come in through a different route. What you don't realize is that ticks can be on your clothing, in your purse, whatever that you are carrying around with you. If they don't find food originally from you, then they're going to be on your animal. They're going to drop off in search of food. And they don't care whether it's Michigan Avenue or a parking lot. They'll drop off in search of food. So that animal could have brought that tick in, and after it fed, it dropped off and was living in the car. Or it could have been brought in by the driver of the car.
Unknowingly. Yeah, sure. And we do have, this is how I say it, more ticks in more places than ever before, which means more tick disease. for prevention, people increasingly are going to big box stores or going online. And I'm not a fan of that. And you tell me if I'm right about that, because you don't know the product that you buy may be based on price. I get it. Or the product that you buy at the store may be based on, first off, what that store has, and secondly, maybe what you're seeing at your eye level. Or maybe you like Cocker Spaniels, and there's a Cocker Spaniel on the cover of the packaging. But it doesn't necessarily reflect the ticks that are in your area. So I'm a huge fan of the necessity of seeing your veterinarian for the right recommendation.
Absolutely. You should see your veterinarian for the perfect prevention for ticks, fleas, and even mosquitoes now, because sometimes bulking it all together in a package that is sort of made for the USA does not cover what you are specifically seeing in your area. The veterinarians know what is happening in our area.
So I have a text here that my dog was discovered with tick disease, doesn't say which one, and there are a whole host of them here. Can I get it?
Some you can.
From a dog?
Not from the dog, but from the tick that was on the dog.
Right.
So you may have already been exposed to whatever tick disease this particular dog had.
So you're referring to the fact that if my dog picked up a tick, I probably was in the same place and could have picked up the tick as well. However, to be clear, absolutely clear, tick disease, we'll talk about other issues, but tick disease is not contagious.
Not contagious between your dog and you or between dog and dog, but it is contagious because remember what I said, the tick only lives on the animal or you for the time period of feeding, and then it drops off and it lays other ticks which are still carrying that disease.
Yeah. And we're talking about a whole host of them. Some people know about, like, Lyme disease. Dogs get all these things. And the other thing is that we don't know. They're dogs, so they don't get up in the morning saying, I'm not feeling so good today. Their tail still wags. They still smile. They still go outside and do their business in the morning. But they may be running a low-grade fever. They may be limping, but we may say, oh, the dog was running yesterday, or it's an older dog. The signs of tick disease can be subtle. It could be stomach upset, and we may say, oh, well, the dog must have gotten into something, or dogs do get stomach upset. It's what dogs do, which is true. So without a test to determine exposure, which your veterinarian can routinely do, it's a simple blood test. It's not expensive. It can go along with the heartworm test. Depending on which test, so if we're talking about the IDEX test, your dog should be tested for heartworm anyway. It seems to make sense to me.
And then you also have to think about the fact that these things are preventable. So prevention is the key to everything. We don't want to have to treat the disease. We want to prevent the disease from ever establishing in the animal.
Can we?
Yes, we can, by preventing ticks from being on the animal. So there are certain preventions that you can use to keep the ticks off of your animals, and then you can avoid certain places. Or there are other things that you should be doing for yourself when you're going to wooded areas.
Yeah, I think we could do more to protect our dogs and ourselves, to tell you the truth. That's been my line. What about mosquitoes? So with all the rain we've had, all the experts say we're going to be inundated at some point. We'll wake up one morning and there'll be mosquitoes everywhere. They carry disease to people, but they do to dogs too, and one in particular, heartworm.
Yes, heartworm is a major problem. And, you know, we have a reservoir of heartworm in the coyote population around Cook County. So we can never get rid of heartworm in the environment. And if you have a large number of mosquitoes, and I hate to say this because this seems counterintuitive, but when you get a decrease in the number of bats from white nose disease, then you get an extra increase in mosquitoes.
All right, let's explain what we're talking about here because people won't know. Let's follow the bouncing ball or the bouncing bat. So you're suggesting that bats are being killed by this disease, the more of that, the fewer the bats. The fewer the bats, the more mosquitoes?
Yes, because do you know that one bat will eat between 1,000 to 3,000 mosquitoes per day?
I did not know that.
Yes.
Did they use condiments?
No, I don't think so.
Oh. We need our bats. That's the thing, you know. And we're going to talk about rabies next, which is interesting in itself because bats can be an issue there. So.
Bats carry rabies.
Yeah.
There you go. There is a segue.
Yeah, I knew it. She is so good on the radio. I need to tell you about the Midwestern University Multispecialty Clinic in Downers Grove. They offer a comprehensive patient-centered healthcare experience at their dental institute. We're talking for people here, not for pets, I believe. Speech Language Institute, Physical Therapy Institute, and Eye Institute. At their clinics, you receive exceptional care from a team of highly qualified faculty and students. Learn more at MWUClinics.com or call 630-743-4500, 630-743-4500. The Midwestern University Clinic, your family's home for healthcare. WGN, it is 9 minutes before 7 o'clock. Good morning. We're talking to our county veterinarian, Dr. Donna Alexander, who is so happy this morning. And she is so happy. I've never seen anyone, I know one other person, who gets as excited as you do talking about rabies. I mean, but before we do, we were talking about ticks and tick disease. Our phone number, 312-981-7200. You could text us at that same number. Two questions that I want to answer, because apparently we didn't make it clear. Does Lyme disease come from ticks is one?
Yes, it does. And it can affect your animal, definitely. And as you said, the subtle symptoms of Lyme disease, you probably will not notice because they are things like muscle weakness, joint pain, that your animal maybe, you think he's slow today.
Yeah.
But those are the kinds of subtle things that are going on.
And though it's not especially common, it can lead to a kind of kidney problem that can kill a dog. So,
absolutely.
Yeah. The other question is, why so much tick disease? Because we were talking about the increase of tick disease, and I believe it has to do with the fact, well, the climate is changing, that's part of it, but also where our animals are. So the animals that carry tick disease, and I don't want to blame only Bambi here. It's more than about deers. Lots of animals do. Well, we have closer intersection with them than ever before. And also, our dogs sometimes go out to the country and then come back to the big city. So a combination of all sorts of different reasons has allowed, birds sometimes carry ticks even. So I don't want to blame only the deer, but we do have more deer than ever before, white-tailed deer.
And the mobility of our animals in society. We travel more with our animals
Absolutely.
Than we have before. So we are bringing even more tick diseases, tick-borne diseases, into this area that we'd never seen before.
So I have in my hand a handout that says low-cost rabies vaccine clinics, something you are so proud of, and rightly so. So tell us about it.
Thank you. This is our 12th year of doing these low-cost rabies clinics.
I wish you were watching on our, and you can. You can go to WGNradio.com and watch it, what we're doing in the studio. And typically watching radio is kind of boring, but the smile on your face is taking up the whole entire Allstate Showcase studio. You're so happy about this.
I sure am, because this allows us to bring an essential vaccine to the public, who needs it the most, people who are in dire need. And it's only $7 for a one-year rabies vaccine, $21 for a three-year rabies vaccine. You can't beat that.
And ferrets, by the way, you offer vaccines for specifically?
Dogs, cats, and ferrets.
And
the ferrets is for $9 because we have to use the three-year vaccine, but it's only good for 1 year. So people who have ferrets must realize that they can only be protected for 1 year.
Okay. Now, again, you can do, and I know we've done it, I mean, an hour about rabies, but people think it's something that is a thing of the past. We talked about bats and how good bats are for the environment, and the fact that most species of bats eat, how many mosquitoes did you just say?
Between 1,000 to 3,000 a day.
And that's without ketchup or mustard or anything, and they just like them plain. At the same time, though, bats and other animals, not only bats, can carry rabies.
Bats, skunks, foxes, raccoons even. Even though we have not had any raccoon rabies here in Cook County or even in Illinois, we still get them in skunks, foxes, bats.
All right.
So it is living in the environment. It's not like polio. We cannot get rid of it. But it is like polio that you can vaccinate against it so that you can prevent your animals from getting it.
Well, and it keeps us safe, too, because rabies is something people can get, and it's not talked about very often because it doesn't happen often in America. It's because we do vaccinate our companion animals, at least dogs. We should be vaccinating our cats more often, too. I'm guessing you would agree with that.
Absolutely. In Cook County, actually, it is the law. Mm-hmm. All dogs, cats, and ferrets must be vaccinated against rabies, and it will soon be a state law that all dogs and cats must be vaccinated against rabies.
Again, she says it with a big smile on her face. But it really is to protect us as well as your pets. Tell me about where these rabies vaccines are and how people can learn more about it.
All across the county, we have found places throughout the county. Every single portion of the county is represented in terms of you being able to get to a place where we're going to be. And they are every Tuesday and Wednesday.
From
10 o'clock until 2:45.
Beginning
May 29th and ending October 3rd.
Okay, so May 29th or October 3rd. All you have to do is show up at one of these locations?
And you can see all of our locations at www.cookcountyil.gov. That will give you all of our locations. You just look up agencies and then animal control, and we'll give you the whole list of places that we're going to be. And you can find the one that's closest to you or the one that fits into your schedule.
Now, the phone number is 708-974-6140, and I'll put this all up on my blog, as well as a link to the podcast of what we're talking about now just a couple of minutes, or at least later today. I know you wanted to talk about microchipping as well. You offer
Yes.
a microchip clinic?
We offer three microchip clinics, one central, one north, and one south this summer. But I want to emphasize to everybody out there, if your animal is microchipped, you must remember to register with the National Registry Group that holds your microchip. This is very important because what we're finding is if in an emergency, if you are only registered with your implanter or the veterinarian that implanted it or with ours, let's say there was a disaster and all of Cook County or Chicago was down. The registry, the national registry, is outside of the disaster area. So if your animal got moved to Louisiana or wherever, that's the only way that we can track you down.
Yeah, and you could do that how?
Well, what you can do is, number one, go to your veterinarian. If you have not had your registry done, if you go to your veterinarian, have it scanned, find out which company is your carrier. And then make sure that you register per their requirements. But if you've changed addresses, and this is something that
changed
people
changed addresses, phone numbers, email addresses,
people
anything.
People forget
that
they have to change that registry information. Because how are we going to find you if we don't know where you are?
Okay, learning more at cookcountyil.gov. And as I said, I'll post it on my blog at stevedale.tv. Dr. Alexander, always good to see you.
Thank you so much, Steve.
As you know, pets aren't like family. They are, in fact, family. Of course they are. MedVet Chicago is always there when you and your staff need them. In fact, Yesterday, I was at Bark in the Park, as I said, and you go by the MedVet booth, and all you hear is over and over and over, thank you, thank you, thank you, thank you. Everyone's saying thank you because the veterinarians there, in some cases, have saved animals' lives. And, of course, we appreciate that. MedVet Chicago is open 24-7. That's the whole idea. They're at Belmont, Western, and Clybourne. They provide emergency specialty and critical care when you need them the most. They also have specialists on board in, I don't know, something like 9 or 10 specialties. It's pretty incredible. Phone number 773-281-7110. I have been calling them the Mayo Clinic of Pets for a very long time. They kind of are that. 773-281-7110.